Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Tuesday night here on Suspense Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening. I am your host, John Robb, and we are going to be joined tonight by debut author Leslie Tetler talking about her book, Midnight Caller. It's going to be a very exciting show. Got some other news to announce that we just found out today, which I think will be interesting for some people. And I also have a movie review that I want to tell people about and a couple other things. So I want you to sit back and relax because Suspense Radio begins right now.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
On a nice Tuesday afternoon, or actually a nice Tuesday night here in Southern California. I know that a third of the country is being pummeled right now with a lot of weather, rain, snow, sleet, whatever. I know Chicago, Shane Yerke emailed us and said he's getting 20 inches of snow, but that's a good thing because he has to start writing his book and getting it done. So he needs to stay inside and keep writing. So Shane, if you are listening, like I said, it's a good thing that you are in the snow because get your book out because we've been waiting for you. A couple of things. I don't know if anybody had seen here on Yahoo, just started happening as far as the trending, is Borders bankruptcy news that just came out, is they're talking about Borders possibly filing for bankruptcy as early as next week, which is something that last April there was a story that they had received a lot of money that was not going to happen. Obviously, they're not going to go ahead and go after Barnes & Noble, but they also announced that, which they did in December, that they are holding back paying publishers for the books that have been sold in January. So we don't know what that is going to mean. We do know that our magazine is not going to be in Borders because they have, you know, stopped anything new going into them. And I just, you know, I have no idea what this is going to hold for it. I do know that they've closed about 200 stores and it looks like more is coming. I think the end of Borders, as we know it, is going to be over. I don't know if they're going to stay online, if they're just going to be bought out, or what's going to happen, but it's a very sad state of affairs to see, you know, even though it is a big book chain, just to see a bookseller like that go away, because that's just less places for people to buy books. Here in Southern California, in Westwood, we had the Mystery Bookstore, which has been around for a very long time. Michael Conley flew in specifically. A lot of people came in last night for the closing of that store, which was something that was... they saw it coming around the corner about for a year, but also, you know, very sad. Like I said, Michael Conley had flown in specifically for this to say goodbye to the Mystery Bookstore in Westwood. He had signed his books there for the last 21 years, and it's just sad to see another indie bookstore go away. and just to see how things are changing. But, you know, like the music industry, the book industry is slowly going into the electronic age, and things are going to be, you know, moving in that direction. Another thing real quick, it was the first time in a long time that we actually, my wife and I actually had no children here on a Saturday night. And we decided to go ahead and watch a movie. Yes, you know, we are a little boring, but it was a movie that we wanted to watch for quite some time, and I typically don't do a lot of movie reviews, but this one was just so freaking funny and just amazingly good was Red. And if you haven't seen it, with Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman and John Malkovich and Helen Mirren, you know, Bruce Willis is the main character pretty much throughout, where John Malkovich then comes in and then Morgan Freeman and Helen Mirren. But John Malkovich is definitely the highlight, I think, of the movie. We were laughing the whole time. There's, you know, it's a funny, there's not really a lot of suspense. It's very, you know, thriller, fast-paced, just a fast-paced, funny comedy. And I would say that, you know, you should definitely go out and see that. And the other thing is that we wanted to see the movie The Right, and I know that that came out. And if anybody has seen it, if they could go ahead and, you know, email me, tell me what you thought of it. I'm just curious to know before I go, you know, spend, you know, $40 on going out and seeing a movie, which is about how much it is when you go see one. I'd like to know that first. But now we would like to go ahead and bring our guest on air. Like I said, and this is her debut book, came out today, called Midnight Caller, and we want to welcome Leslie Tentler to the radio show tonight. So, Leslie, how are you doing? And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Midnight Caller from Mirror Books came out today, but like we talked off the air, it was actually probably available on Amazon and some other bookstores about a week now. But today's, I guess, the official release date. So go ahead and, you know, let's tell everybody a little bit about Midnight Caller, kind of along the lines of the romantic suspense genre. But I do like on your website, the line that you have on there is, I don't plan to kill you unless, of course, you force me to. And I think that that's a tremendously well-written line. And I think a lot of people have, you know, we thought about doing that, maybe just not acted it out with certain people.
Right, and that line actually plays fairly largely in the storyline. Midnight Caller centers on a serial murder investigation that's set in New Orleans. My main character is actually an FBI agent who's named Trevor Revay, and he's based in D.C. and works for what's called the FBI's Violent Crimes Unit. Trevor's sent down to New Orleans to help with the investigation, but the twist here is that he's actually a New Orleans native. He's been gone from there for a long, long time, and he still has family there that he's estranged from. So while he's investigating the serial murders down there, we're sort of finding out concurrently what happened to tear him away from his family many years earlier. So that's kind of the setup for the story. The counterpart character to Trevor is a radio show host who's named Dr. Rain Summers, and she has a very large following among New Orleans goth community, which is actually where a lot of the murders are taking place. The goths are following her because her mother was a very famous singer in New Orleans who was murdered 30 years earlier, and she becomes entangled in Trevor's investigation when a caller into her show starts giving clues that he might also be the killer. So that's kind of where everything starts at the beginning of the story.
Now, I'm just curious to know, you know, why New Orleans? Do you have a, you know, specific connection with the city? Because I know you say you're calling, you know, from Georgia tonight, so I didn't know if New Orleans was a place you grew up in or just a place that you loved and you visited and you said, okay, this is just going to be the setting.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. You know, from a practicality standpoint, I wanted to have it set in the South just because I'm a Southerner and I'm more familiar with that area.
I would have had no idea with your accent that you were from the South, though. None at all.
Chicago. Yeah, he gives me a hard time about my accent, but used to be a lot worse, but I've been married to a Chicagoan for 20 years, so it's actually thinned down a little bit, believe it or not. But I had originally planned to set the story in Savannah, and as I started doing research, I realized that New Orleans had a much larger goth community. So that was part of the reason why I set it there, but also I did have familiarity with the area because my brother-in-law lived in Kenner, which is a suburb of New Orleans, for several years, so I did visit down there quite a few times, and I've really always been into history and historical settings, and it's just a nice place to, you know, to set a book just because there's so much visually there that you can work with.
Now, did you go back to New Orleans before the book and try to get into the goth community a little bit? Did you do a lot of interviews with people that were involved in that to kind of get a better understanding of kind of how that circle runs? Because, you know, it's a very, you know, small but a very loyal kind of underground group, I would guess, in that city. So, you know, how much research did you have to take on that realm to get into that, you know, frame of mind to write about it?
I really did a lot of the research online. There's just such a wealth of information available, and there's so many sites now that are set up that, you know, people from that community are talking and that kind of stuff. And really, I did most of the goth-specific research online. But I did do didn't go down to New Orleans before I wrote the book, but I did do a lot of it just from, you know, visiting down there several years ago, because even this was probably 10 years ago, my brother-in-law lived down there. I'd always wanted to set a book there. So I had gone down there visiting him, but also kind of taking notes, you know, on some of the area.
Now, your character's Rain Summers, which is the radio show psychologist, and your FBI agent, Trevor Rivette, I'm taking it with the romantic suspense that those two are probably involved somehow romantically.
yes,
you know,
that's usually inevitable in these type of books. They do hook up eventually, but those are the two main characters. And, you know, also secondary to the story, Trevor's brother and sister, who still live in New Orleans, are pretty large secondary characters in the book.
And so what I was going to ask was, with Rain and Trevor, now, when you thought of Midnight Caller, did you think of those two characters first, and what would best fit, you know, what kind of story would go with them, or did you think of the plot first for Midnight Caller and then just kind of come up with Rain and Trevor after you already had the idea?
Actually, the first character that developed for me was the FBI agent, Trevor. Before I had a plot, before I had any other characters, I'd always kind of had him in my head because I wanted to have – I always thought about an FBI agent who's handling a major investigation, but at the same time, he's kind of being forced to deal with some family issues that he's fled from. So he was really the first character for me before anything else. And when I developed Rain, she's a bit of an eccentric. She's really the polar opposite from Trevor. He's very serious. He's got a lot of stuff in his past. You know, she really came more as a balance to him as opposed to just developing on her own. So, you know, she is a really cool character, and I really enjoyed writing her, but she really came more as, you know, me thinking, well, Trevor's so heavy and dark, you know, how do I kind of create a balance to that?
Well, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the radio show is, well, we had you in the February issue of the magazine, which people were able to get now. But the other thing is that, and I wanted to kind of figure out your background, whether you were a writer before, or if this was something that you were just a massive reader, because we don't see very often where debut books are written in such a way where it's not a debut book. It looks like this is something that you've been doing for quite some time, and you've kind of maybe perfected yourself, you know, right here, right now, which is one of the reasons why it was extremely, you know, great to see, you know, that you did that. And it's very difficult to have, and that's why we figure that Midnight Caller is a book that definitely anybody in the realm should go out and get, because it is just that good of a book. So what was your background kind of before this? You know, have you written before? Was something that just kind of came to you? Give us a little bit about, you know, where you came to this point.
Okay, absolutely. I've actually been writing since, I think I first started in 1989, but I've been writing as a public relations writer, specializing in the high-tech industry and the nonprofit industry. So that's the way I've been making my living for years, you know, writing every single day. I've ghostwritten a lot of articles for executives. That's pretty much been my bread and butter for years, but I'd always had in the back of my head I wanted to write fiction. And, you know, to pay the bills and that kind of stuff, I kept doing the nonfiction work. But a few years ago, I decided that it was time to stop dreaming about it and actually start, you know, writing the kind of stuff that I wanted to write. But, yeah, I have been writing for a long time, even though it's not been in fiction, but I still think there's a carryover of skills there, so I think that definitely helped me.
And how long did it take you for when you wrote Midnight Caller to where Mira, or you got an agent that went ahead and decided to pick it up?
That's that's kind of an interesting story. I wrote the...
Interesting stories.
This will tell you a little bit about me, too. When I originally wrote the manuscript, it was quite a few years before it was published. And, you know, I wrote it, in my opinion, fairly quickly, probably in about 9 to 10 months. And I, you know, thought, okay, I've got a manuscript. What do I do with it? And, you know, people said, well, there's these groups, you know, romance writers have you know, these chapters and they have contests. You should put it in contests. So I started putting it in contests, and I started winning a lot of contests with it. And it really kind of frightened me because I'd never really thought about having my work out there in front of people. So right at the point that I won probably one of the bigger awards with it, I just kind of froze and thought, well, it's great I've won these awards, and I put it on the shelf, and I sort of left it there for a while and didn't really do anything with it for, I guess, maybe a year or so. And then I just kind of decided, you know, I'll start sending this out to agents. And I got an agent fairly quickly, and she sold it in a couple months, and it kind of took off from there. But, for a while, this manuscript just kind of sat on a shelf in my office, and I kept writing nonfiction business work and letting it sit there.
Now, just to try to help out some new authors, since you are new and you're just kind of getting into the game, and a lot of people would love to hear, you know, kind of your journey to get there. So when you decided to go ahead and send your book into an agent, and this is one thing, or publisher, this is one thing I think a lot of writers miss the boat on. How much research did you do on the agent and or publisher to say, this is what I write and this is who I'm going to send it to because this is what they're looking for, instead of just sending it out blindly to anybody?
Right, and you're absolutely right. And one of the things that really helped me is I joined Romance Writers of America and also the Georgia chapter, since I'm based in Atlanta. And they do provide a lot of guidance about, you know, great, you have a manuscript, now what do you do with it? So I didn't just start sending out to anyone. I specifically went out and did my research on agents who were recommended, on agents who, you know, belonged to the proper associations and that kind of stuff, the ones that had good sales and were on record for having good sales. And then, you know, after all that, the ones that were specifically looking for romantic thrillers. So, you know, when you narrow that down, you start off with an agent list, you know, that could be in the hundreds, but when you narrow it down with those types of filters, you know, you really end up with a fairly small list of people that you're looking at. So, yeah, I mean, it really helps to go and do the research and find out who the right people are. I'd probably recommend, just at the most general level, to go to a website called Predators and Editors. They have a very good list of, you know, the agencies and kind of whether they've had sales and, you know, whether they're recommended or whether people have had issues with them. And that's certainly a place that I recommend that most writers start.
Now, I want to remind everybody, we're speaking here with Leslie Tentler, and the book is Midnight Caller. Your website is leslietentler.com, that's TENTLER.com, to find out more about yourself, contact you, and everything else, and see about Midnight Caller. And you also have teased people to let them know that you have two more books coming out here in 2011 and 2012. But now, here, quick question, and kind of a little off base, though. One writer that you would love to go ahead after these next two books are written and do a compilation with, dream writer, whoever, who would you want to write with?
You know, I'm not even in her ballpark, but I'm going to say Chelsea Kane. I read her first novel in her current series, which was called Heartsick. I absolutely loved that novel. I'm really into characters that are sort of emotionally put upon, and Archie Sheridan, who's a detective in her story, is probably, you know, the most damaged character I've ever run into, and I just absolutely fell in love with the series. So, yeah, if I ever had a chance to write something with her, I'd love it.
Now, have you met her or anything else, or just...
Oh, absolutely not. I'm sure I would be a fangirl if I met her, because I really, really... quite a bit. I like Sandra Brown, but I guess my first choice off the list would have to be Chelsea Kane, because I'm really, really into those book series right now.
Well, I can say that Brenda Novak, out of those, as the three that you just mentioned, is absolute great, and we interviewed her on the radio here. She's been on our radio show. We had her with D.P. Lyle. Chelsea Kane, we just got one of her books in. I know and we've gotten a lot of her stuff, so that's interesting. That was not somebody that I think that was like, you know, you always think of like the top people, but I think that that's great. That, you know, somebody like that. Now, if going on with 2011 and 2012, are these books that you're going to have, are they going to be part of the series? Are they not going to be standalones? What do you kind of have planned here for the next two?
There are two more books in the series, and I'm finishing up the third one now. The decision was made by the publisher that they would be a loosely based trilogy that's called the Chasing Evil Trilogy. And how they're tied in, they're all three separate stories, but the FBI agents in each of the three work for a fictional unit of the FBI called the Violent Crimes Unit, and they specialize in serial killers. It's very similar, in my opinion, to Criminal Minds, except there's a romantic element thrown in. But each of them do, revolve around a different character, and really the only tie-in is that each of the FBI agents in each story work for the VCU. There's one recurring secondary character, which is S.A.C. Johnston, who is the head over the unit. But other than that, you know, the stories are really different stories, even though they all run on the same theme.
Now, I've also noticed that you are doing something on Facebook here, a little Facebook giveaway, where people
yes.
have until February the 5th to go mm-hmm. ahead and go to your Facebook, like you, and the winner will receive an autographed copy of Midnight Caller and a $25 Amazon gift certificate. Now, that's something that's a little bit new that we haven't really seen an author do. How new is it to you to go ahead, you know, since you've probably never done it, to now have to go out and actually, you know, market yourself and be into the public, which is something, you know, like you said, you've been a ghostwriter, and you've kind of been back behind the scenes, but now you have to thrust yourself out there. Is it tentative? Is it difficult for you? Is it something that you're just still learning? How's all that playing into everything?
Actually, the social media aspect has been pretty easy for me, just because as a writer in public relations for 20 years, I've worked with PR firms, and you know, over the past several years, public relations firms have been getting into the social media aspect. So I've actually written white papers and that kind of stuff on things like Twitter and Facebook and, you know, how to get out there. So it was pretty natural for me to go out and start doing that kind of stuff to promote the book as well. So I do feel like I've had a little bit of an advantage there, just that I've already been familiar with that just from my own, you know, job over the past few years.
And is the blog something that you're going to keep up with a lot more? Because I kind of seen that, you know, it's a little bit, I think your last entry was like in January 15th. Is that something that you plan on doing a little bit more of here in the future?
Yes, I'm going to be doing that more regularly. The only reason that I haven't been very frequent on the blogs is because at this very moment I'm doing the promotional work for Book 1, which is out now. I'm doing my revisions for my editor on Book 2, and I'm finishing Book 3, which is due next month. So my blog's kind of taken a little bit of a backseat for the past several weeks, but I do think probably starting early March I'm going to be posting regularly there and hopefully have, you know, some crossover stuff with Facebook and Twitter as well.
Now, it looks like you're going to be here in Atlanta on February 5th, and you're going to be in Tennessee for 3 days. Now, did you set that up? Do you have like an outside publicist that helps you? How did all this come together for your book signing tour?
I do. I have an outside publicist I'm working with, and he helped me set up the book signings. I do have several events in eastern Tennessee, which is actually where I'm from. I've lived in Atlanta, Georgia for probably close to 20 years, but I still have family, and I grew up in East Tennessee, so that's the reason that I'm having quite a few events there as well. I'm going to be doing a couple book signings and also on one of the local television shows there. But he did set those up for me, so he's been extremely helpful.
Now, how did you celebrate when you found out that Mira was going to publish your book?
You know, when I found out, I was on the phone with my agent. She called me and told me the news. So I was just completely floored and went down to find my husband to tell him the great news, and was intercepted by the exterminator guy who came in, and he was doing our bug sprays and all that kind of stuff. And I ended up having to sit and listen to a presentation from him for 20 minutes before I could tell my husband. So, you know, it was really funny because I went running downstairs to tell him, and there's the bug guy saying, well, let me sit down and tell you, you know what you need to do and that kind of stuff. But yeah, that we really didn't have a whole lot of celebration because my husband's in sales. We were taking some clients out that night. So, you know, we said, yay, you know, great, high-fived each other, and then we took some clients out.
So not a lot of time for, you know, celebration, but have you had time to kind of sit back and reflect? And, you know, I mean, now that the book is out, you know, has it had time to sink in to be like, wow, I mean, I got 3 book deal here. It's amazing.
You know, it's so funny because I think I'm just such a practical person that I immediately went into the, you know, got to meet the deadlines and that kind of stuff. And I just kind of sat down and rolled up my sleeves and started working. And, you know, really haven't done a lot of celebrating or even thinking about it. And it hasn't really sunk in until, you know, this past few days when I've been getting emails from friends who've been sending me photos of my books on the bookshelf at different places around the country, which has been really cool. Yeah, that really just sunk in when I started getting photos from people saying, you know, hey, I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, or, you know, I'm in Naples, Florida, and here's your book on the bookshelf.
And, yeah, because we had a lot of people that did that with our magazine, and it's always great when they take those pictures and you get them in. And I guess that kind of makes you feel like, wow, I mean, I guess it's real. Because before, until you actually see it out there, it's like, yeah, I got a book, but this and that. And then you actually see it out there, and then it's like, wow, it's actually real.
Yeah, and it's really true because I just, you know, I'm one of these people that I really focus on, you know, making sure the work's done. And I'd really been focused more on the writing and the deadlines and all the stuff that goes with it, you know, as opposed to the thoughts of, even though it's something I've always dreamed about, you know, being a published author, didn't really think about it, haven't had the opportunity until things kind of started hitting this week.
So coming up here again, we're going to talk into the future because you said that this is sort of a loosely based trilogy that you have here for your next two. Are they going to be set in the same area, or are you moving kind of people around, and are Rain and Trevor going to be in different places?
No, Rain and Trevor right now will probably, as far as the trilogy goes, you know, book one is it for them. I'd love to go back and revisit them, and, you know, if the book does well, you know, I think it's very likely I could build another novel that's sort of a sequel to them, you know, that maybe centers around Trevor's younger sister, Annabelle. But as far as the current trilogy, the three-book series goes, the first one's in New Orleans. The second, the Violent Crimes Unit is set and based in Washington, D.C., and the second book actually does take place in Washington, D.C. and Middleburg, Virginia. The heroine in that book actually is running an equine therapy program outside of Washington, D.C. So the second book is set there, and then the third book takes place in Jacksonville, Florida. So they're all in different locations, and the stories are really very different with the exception of the tie-in with the FBI agents.
So when you get your three-book deal here from Mira, again, I want to remind everybody that we are speaking with Leslie Tentler, and the book is Midnight Caller, out today, the first of her three books that are going to be coming out in 2011 and then 2012. So for your next two, I'm trying to remember the question that I had in my head, so I'm going to sit here and talk for a second until it kind of hits me again, and I think I just lost it. But, yeah, I actually did. I literally just lost the question that I had in my head. So, I can't believe I just got a blank.
Well, I can give you a little bit of a teaser about the second book.
Yes.
Because
I just literally went on a flat blank like Tom Hanks in Joe versus the Volcano. I got a brain clap. So go ahead. Do that while I'm thinking here.
Okay. Well, the second book will be out in August, and it's kind of an interesting story because it is based around another serial killer, but it's actually a copycat. And he's copycatting a serial killer there known as the Capital Killer in Washington, D.C., and the twist is that he was the brother of sort of a socialite in the D.C. area. The father was a senator. She was a socialite, and she ended up turning her brother in, who was a serial killer, turned in evidence to the FBI to convict him. And then a couple years after that, her family's been scandalized, and she's moved from D.C. to Middleburg, Virginia, which is about an hour away, to run this equine therapy program when a copycat killer emerges. So that's sort of the setup for book number two.
I know what I was going to ask, because typically when a publisher buys, you know, like three books, they're like, okay, I want three books of this character, or a trilogy of some kind of thing. When they went ahead and said, you know, we want three books from you, did they lay out and say, we want three books in this line? Or, you know, what was the kind of the stipulation that Mira gave you to say, you know, was it a character driven? Or, again, was it just kind of the whole premise of these kind of three books maybe tying kind of into each other a little bit?
Well, and, you know, I thought the same thing you did. When I found out they wanted this to be a series, I assumed that the secondary characters in Midnight Caller would then become the main characters in the next book. So I started actually, you know, outlining something for that. And then found out as we got a little further into, you know, talking to the editors and the contracts and all that stuff, that what they really, you know, didn't want was they didn't want me to do that. They wanted to have sort of standalone characters, which I think is different, because when I think series, I usually think that, you know, the secondary characters kind of become the major characters in the following books. But it was really a decision on the publisher's part that this would be that way.
Now, how many pages is a contract nowadays coming from a publisher when you get, was it 10, 20, 30?
I don't have it in front of me, but I can tell you it was probably more than 25 pages. It was big.
Really? So you had to,
yeah.
So you read all 25 pages? You had kind of a lawyer go over it and sit there and say, this is what they're taking from you?
My sister-in-law is an attorney, so that helped. I had her read it, but I read it myself a few times, had my husband read it. But, yeah, it's a big contract.
Yeah, I don't know what they used to be in the past, but I do know that probably with all the new publishing of the e-books and everything else, that they've definitely changed probably in the last year and a half or so, because they have all the rights to all of those. And a lot of the times they go ahead and, I don't know if you found out, has your book been maybe sold already for movies?
Not that I'm aware of. That would be great if that happened, but not that I'm aware of.
Now, is your agent also, you know, I mean, it's the same agent that's kind of pursuing all of that and anything else, you know, kind of in the movie plan?
Right. My agent, the agency that she works for, does have a film production arm. So that, you know, obviously I think is a possibility, but right now I haven't heard anything on that.
So that's, you know, I the whole thing has just got to be absolutely exciting, you know, talking debut book coming out today. You're out there, you're talking about it, you're already working on 2 and 3 and getting it going, and I'm sure your mind is racing for 4, 5, and 6 and, you know, what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to do you do this full time now?
Pretty much. I'm still doing a little bit of editing work from public relations clients that I have, but for the most part, I'm not doing any PR writing anymore. I'm pretty much writing books, which is great. It's really been fun, and it's something different for me to do. But yeah, that's pretty much become my full-time job right now, and I do think that that's, if I recall correctly, I think that's what my editor told me was one of the reasons they didn't really want me to focus on secondary characters was so that if they decided to take this beyond a 3-book series, you know, it would sort of be able to something that you could duplicate on and on and on, because you wouldn't run out of those characters, that you could just kind of keep doing stories from the same violent crimes unit.
And one of the things, and I don't know if it was in there, but I've always wondered, and maybe you can answer, because you kind of have characters, and we already mentioned that Rain and Trevor, you know, possibly will be on future and future books. Do they specifically kind of write those things down and say you are not allowed to kill them off at any particular time? Do you have to kind of get that permission to go ahead and say, nah, I'm sick of Rain, and I'm just going to throw a bullet through her head, and she's going to be done?
You know, officially, I'll have to say it's all been very loose. You know, it's really been up to me, like, what do you want to do? And I sort of propose it, and they'll say, you know, so far everything I've said, they said, sounds good. You know, let's do that. The only pushback I had is when I'd originally thought that the second book was going to, you know, continue with my secondary characters. There is a secondary character in book one that I plan to kill off. And the publisher, you know, I never got to that point with the conversation with them, but my agent immediately told me when I told her my idea, she said, you can't do that. You can't kill this character off. But I had planned to do that. And, you know, if I ever get a chance to go back and revisit Trevor and Rain and that storyline, I'm still going to try to work on killing off that secondary character, because
like that secondary character. They're dead.
I actually like him a lot, but I like to go for the emotion in the story, and I think it's just a good character to he is a secondary character. He's important from a significant standpoint, but he doesn't have a whole lot of role play in there, and so I would like to, you know, maybe kind of rub him out and sort of start the story from there, but my agent wasn't in love with that idea.
I'm all for you. I say go ahead, and if you want to kill him, kill him. You know, that's just what you got to do. Bring somebody else into the fray. Well, but I'll tell you what, Leslie, it has been great to have you on. We want to congratulate you so much for Midnight Caller debut book out today from Mira Books. All the online bookstores, all the bookstores everywhere. You're going to be in Books A Million coming up here in the middle of February in Tennessee. So people should go to your website at LeslieTentler, TENTLER.com, to find out all the information, contact you, go to Facebook, get your giveaway. But you only have until February 5th to get out there and get the giveaway for $25 gift certificate and a free copy of the signed book. So, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. Leslie Tentler, book Midnight Caller. Go to LeslieTentler.com. Check everything out. Again, wonderful romantic suspense author. It's not one of those books when you see debut authors that you're like, oh, gosh, debut author, you know, let's give them a couple, you know, three, four books before we get into them. No, this is one that you want to go ahead and get into right now, and we want to thank Leslie so much for coming on. Joining with us tonight, we were going to have another guest. I didn't mention this at the beginning, which was Starina. We were going to have her back. We announced that on February 1st. Her book came out today, Deadly Decisions, and we are going to interview her. She is sick and under the weather, and she did not want to come on and give everybody a cold, even though I don't think she could have over the air, but we don't know, you know, how those airborne diseases work, so I told her to not come on the air and just, you know, sit and relax and take her medicine. But we will have her on soon, and that will be a good thing. Suspense Magazine, February edition. If you have your electronic copies, if you're a subscriber, you already have your electronic copies, and we want to hear what you guys think of it. So follow us on Facebook. We always do a lot of exclusive announcements, different kind of things on Facebook, because it's one of the best places we can go and kind of hit the masses all at once. And we want people that, you know, follow us and see what we do to have a little bit of exclusive, you know, information. And for everybody who listens to the show, we started a fan appreciation page that we have out there. You can kind of see us in the early years, what we looked like. In 2009, we had some authors that we had interviewed. We had John Saul in there, and a couple other great authors in some of these magazines that we did back in 2009. We've kind of re-released them for free, and you can get 3 months' worth here on the fan appreciation page. All you have to do is go to Facebook, find friend us. You'll see us on the profile. You see where we've typed it on. You click on it. You can go get your 3 free magazines out there from 2009. Check out what we used to look like to what we look like today. Things are a little bit different. We just keep, you know, going ahead and trying to reinvent ourselves all the time, because that's what, you know, books and thrillers and, you know, suspense authors are always trying to do. The one thing that I've just listened to, I've just done 3 audiobooks in the last, 10 days. Love audiobooks. Love being able to listen to them. I have quite a bit of long drive in the morning and in the evening going back and forth. So I kind of pop in the audiobooks and listen to them. And I listened to Michael Palmer's The Last Surgeon, which was an excellent book. And Stephen Fry, The Fourth Order. And I just finished Philip Margolin, and it was Executive Privilege. Now, these are a little older. The Last Surgeon was the newest one that I listened to. But all of the production is just great. And I just love to be able to sit there and listen to it. I get through them so much faster than reading, and I don't fall asleep, which is what I do on a lot of my books that I read, is I'll get them upstairs, start reading, couple 10 pages, the book goes down, the eyes close, and I get laughed at by the wife. She says I don't read, which is why I read comic books, because they're only like 25 pages. I can get through them much faster, and I don't fall asleep. So audiobooks are a great way. So if anybody does happen to have any, you know, kind of audiobooks and things that maybe would want me to listen to, you can go ahead and email me, and I can see whether or not it's something that's interesting, because I will be the only one listening to it, and I'm very picky in what I listen to. The next book I have coming up is a John Katzenbach book, I believe, called The Wrong Man, and I'm going to start listening to that one tomorrow, and I'll let you know how that one comes out. But I would say that Michael Palmer, The Last Surgeon, definitely has one of those killers in there that will just scare the hell out of you. And we were going to have Michael on to discuss that book and some of his other ones with his son Daniel. They had some technical difficulties. They couldn't get on the show, but we are going to be able to reschedule them. So look for us on Facebook. We will let you know when our next radio show is. I know that we're going to have a show here on February the 19th. Brad Taylor and Brad Ellis are going to be joining us, and they're going to be talking about their book. So keep up to date on things that we're doing by, you know, hitting the website and everything else, suspensemagazine.com. And again, we are not going to be in Barnes & Noble for our magazine, for our print. The best way to get it is to get us right here online. You can buy us. You can buy us out if you want. No, you can go ahead and go to our website and, you know, buy the magazine, send it right to you, whether it's print or electronic. And we want to thank everybody. Want to hear your thoughts? Go out there, vote for the cover. We do it every month. Our March cover is up. You can pick which one of the six you think is the best one to make the cover, and you might just get your wish come. Suspense Magazine and Suspense Radio, we want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. We will see you all next time. And until then, keep reading. We love you all. Thank you. Good night.